Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. We decided to do a live show today. We had such great responses to our programs from last week. This is a holiday, a federal holiday for the banks and for the Postal Service. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. And yes, we are live. I am live now. But the first part of the program was a recording from an earlier program last week. And thank you for your patience today. We just had technology took a break today. And I just connected to my co-host, Dave Allen. So good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. And we are live. Today is Monday, January 15th, 2018. And as I mentioned, if you want to hear that program that you heard playing at the beginning of the program, go to the website dgscoins.com, and you can hear the archive. Just click under archives, and voila. I think he was playing Friday's program, either Wednesday or Friday's program of last week. So now we got all of that ado done. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody.
And, it's been, I did an earlier program this morning with Beth. As I mentioned, usually we do take the day off. Banks and post offices are closed, and so markets are closed. And there's not a whole lot to report on, but we had such great responses from last week, Dave. I thought, well, let's go ahead and do a live program today. It was quiet here at the office, as most people probably just anticipate or expect us to be closed for the day, but we did have some early trading on gold in the aftermarket electronic trading, and so we had gold up $2 in that market, in the aftermarket at $13.40. Silver was up 13 cents today at $17.43. Platinum was up $4 at $1,001, and palladium was up 5 at $11.32. We're looking, the US dollar is holding at 90.41, and as I said, markets were closed, bond markets were closed. This report, Dave, came out. I just want to talk a little bit about this. I had it for Friday, and I didn't have a chance to touch on it. And this is the federal government collected a record individual income tax revenues through the first quarter of fiscal 2018. Now, the first quarter of 2018, fiscal 2018, is October through December. Now, this is according to the new monthly Treasury statement. And that record was $390 billion, almost $391 billion in individual income taxes in October through December. And that was actually $30 billion more than the $360 that the Treasury collected December 2017.
That's a big jump. What are they attributing that to?
They really don't attribute it to anything. it's just us taxpayers paying. It's a big jump, but what's interesting, well, you know, you could, what it's probably attributed to is, I mean, holiday season, more people being employed through the holidays. So I would think that would have maybe a little bit of a factor on it. But the government is still running a $225 billion deficit. Now, the total tax collections in the first quarter of fiscal 2018 equaled, and I'm just rounding these numbers out, $769 billion. But because the government spent $994 billion during the first quarter, the Treasury ran a deficit of $225 billion. So the I mean, and my question, and they have a little bit about a breakdown here. Well, it tells where the individual income taxes came from and so forth. How do they expect with the tax reform and the tax cuts, we're having record collections, and yet we still can't even balance the books. We still are running deficits. So now you're going to have tax cuts on top of that. So
no way to run a big business.
You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. The $769 billion in total tax revenues collected in the first quarter of this year included not only the record 390 individual income taxes, but also $62 billion in corporate income tax, $259 billion in Social Security and other payroll taxes, $19 billion in excise taxes, $5 billion in estate and gift taxes, and $9 billion in customs duties, which I thought seemed like a lot, but and $23 billion in miscellaneous government receipts, which I found, what is a miscellaneous government receipt? $23 billion.
We'll have to look up that category.
You know what? I should have when I was reading this, but it just didn't really hit me. It's miscellaneous government receipts. According to the Census Bureau, there were 126 million households in the United States in 2017. The $769 billion in total taxes collected by the federal government in the first quarter of fiscal 2018 equals approximately almost $6,100 per household per quarter for that quarter. You know, what's interesting is they tell us that households, many of them will see a $2,000 return after their taxes. Was that the number? So if they're paying $6,000 and they get $2,000, they're still paying. I don't know. To me, it's just it's easy to see how the numbers just aren't going to match up.
Some might call that magic. Others, just as simple as creative accounting. It's dubious, but certainly interesting.
Yes, it is. And so anyway, we'll see how it ends or once the numbers begin to come out about the taxes. But speaking of which, there's going to possibly be a government shutdown.
It's true.
Do you have anything to say about that, about the short-term funding bill?
I do.
You do?
I do. Yeah. Would you like me to talk about it?
I don't know.
Well, you know, here's what we're reading anyway. Congress is likely, at the last minute, of course, is likely going to pass a short-term funding bill that's known as a continuing resolution, or CR for short. If you hear the pundits on TV or listen to them on radio talking about a CR, that's a continuing resolution to keep the government open while they keep negotiating on, you know, big ticket items. Despite some rare bipartisan congressional efforts, the insiders that we're reading about report that there will be no immigration deal before the deadline, and that's the big thing. Democrats and Republicans are far from agreeing on a DACA deal. That's the deferred action on childhood arrivals, on the so-called Dreamers. Those were the young immigrants who were brought illegally to the United States as children. We'll talk more about DACA later in the program, but the president is still pretty ticked off after his fellow Republican Lindsey Graham and Democrat Dick Durbin and others presented him with what he considers a completely unacceptable bipartisan deal. A new group of Republicans and Democrats, top House and Senate members, folks like Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer, the House Minority Whip, and Dick Durbin and John Cornyn of the Senate, they've started to meet to hash out or try to hash out an immigration deal that works for the president. These discussions are supposedly still preliminary and will continue this week, whether they can get that done by Friday and everyone come to an agreement for a short-term CR remains to be seen. Democrats don't want to support a government funding bill unless it has a DACA fix. So Republicans obviously are going to try and brand Democrats as the party of shutdown. The shoe is on the other foot this time around, saying the Dems are holding the government hostage for disaster relief payments, essential services, and most importantly, troop funding, all in the service of illegal immigration. The week will be interesting and probably get more so as the week moves on. Melody?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of distractions, and you know that's part of the, they don't want to talk about, you know, what they need to do to keep the, you know, to fund the government and so forth. And I didn't watch the news today, but it didn't seem like it was very focused or concentrated. I mean, all they could think of is, you know, and complain about, you know, the word outhouse. I'm not, I am being polite because you can't say that. I don't like to say that on radio, but you know, coming from Trump from last week, and I mean, it's just like that's all been the focus. It's just like, folks, you know, there's bigger things going on. There's a lot bigger things going on than just worrying about whether, you know, you have bad, I don't even know what you want to call it, but bad taste. So, you know, it's. Also, you have Lindsey Graham. I mean, when they had that meeting that they had on television that they for the world to see, Lindsey Graham is sitting there, I don't want to say sucking up to Trump, but pretty much telling him, oh, Mr. President, we're going to give you just exactly what you want and everything like this. And then 2 days later, you know, or a day later, he comes out and says these other things, and it's like what is their problem, you know?
Or some might say, what is his
problem? Yeah,
not Graham, but the president, the man who apparently said outhouse. in a context that a lot of even conservatives have taken issue with.
Yeah, but see, the way I view it, Dave, it's just like, good grief. Everyone, grow up, move on, and hit the problems that we have in this country. Talk about the debt that we have. I mean, we're going to have a big problem because the tax reform isn't going to solve any of the problems. And focus. It's like no one's focusing. They take off on these different tangents, like I just did.
Thank you, mainstream media.
Yes, exactly. And we have commercials we're going to go into now. So thank you for the break. And folks, we'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio, Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable, given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power. It's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host. You are listening. My co-host, Dave Allen. It never fails when you have a rough open. It just follows all the way through. Good afternoon, Dave. Thank you for joining us again today.
Absolutely.
Oh,
hello,
my gosh.
Hello,
take it
listeners.
Away, please, take it away. But you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. Thank you for joining us this Monday afternoon. It is Martin Luther King Day, and most banks and everything was closed today. The stock markets were closed today. Gold had a short trading, electronic trading day. I am running a special today. We were talking about $20 gold pieces on Friday, and I'm going to continue to, and I was looking to see really what was the best deal out there. And we talked about Mint State 64 $20 Liberties, and they're just a fan. I mean, they are the deal of the century. But there's another one that's a deal of the century, and that's the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty gold piece. And why is that a deal? Well, when you look at the 63 St. Gaudens, there was always a fairly big spread between the two, between a 63 Saint and a 63 Lib. Now, when you look at the Mint State 62s, the Saints and the Liberties usually are priced at the same. When you moved into the 63s, that spread began to widen. So, today, there's only a $35 spread between a Mint State 63 Saint and a Mint State 63 $20 Liberty. At the peak, during the Great Recession, the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty was selling for about $3,000. The Saint was only selling for about, I don't know, $2,100. That's the kind of spread that you can see between these two coins in the Mint State 63. So, viewing it in that perspective, the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty is a great coin to be adding to your portfolio. You can purchase it today for only $1,495. Now, when you're looking at spreads, we said there's a $35 spread between a 63 Saint and a 63 Liberty, and at one time it was almost $1,000. But if you look at the spread between a bullion coin all the way up to a Mint State 63 level, you're looking at eight different levels, and it's only $100. It's only a $100 spread between a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle and a Mint State 63 $20 Liberty gold piece. And when the $20 Liberty gold piece hit the 3,000 level, bullion was probably trading around $1,400. So a tremendous opportunity, because I do think they will recapture those spreads, and I think in the very near future. Mint State 63 $20 Liberty gold pieces for $1,495. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Sounds like quite the bargain, Melody.
It really is. And now that you can add these coins, I mean, they're the deals of the century, because you can add them with the spread so close to bullion coins. And there's a lot of bullion buyers out there who have nothing but bullion. Now's a great time to be adding $20 gold pieces for the privacy, the performance, the protection that you get from them. And even you can trade your bullion coins. You can add or you can trade your bullion coins for $20 gold pieces. So give us a call, and we'll see what we can do for you. See if you're positioned properly in order to trade. But if you have new funds to put in the market, the Mint State 63 $20 Liberty is a great area to be in. Well, you know, Dave, even though we have a U.S. holiday, the dollar trading still sort of dominated today. It headed into a fourth day of declines, weakening against every major currency. The euros jumped, weighed on European stocks. There was some pressure on European stocks, but it wasn't anything big. Gold continues to gain. And the Bloomberg Dollar Index approached its lowest level in 3 years, as the euro has extended gains that have pushed it to the strongest since 2014. Mexico's peso was the big outperformer as emerging currencies gained, while the China's currency, the yuan, touched a two-year high as the People's Bank of China raised the currency fixing, and West Texas oil fluctuated before climbing for a sixth day. So we continue to see that pressure on the dollar after capping 5 straight weeks of declines, even against a backdrop of, you know, what they tell us is solid U.S. growth. Traders appear to be a little more excited about the hawkish policies from the central banks in Europe and Japan. And so it seems like it doesn't really matter how good our economy is. Our economy is, they're looking towards Europe and Japan for, they're just a little more excited about that than what we face here. And it could also have the political climate could also have an impact on where the funds are heading in the currency trading. So that's all good for gold. I mean, we know governments want weaker currencies. We know that with a fiat dollar, we're going to get weaker currency. We're going to get inflation. And it's all good for gold. So the future looks bright.
The future looks bright. I want to be paid in gold.
Don't we all?
You know, add to that, you know, we'll remember on New Year's Day, the president tweeted that he was considering withholding billions of dollars in U.S. aid to Pakistan because they're continuing to harbor and work with terrorists. Now, it's been reported that relations between the U.S. and Pakistan have grown even more tense, and they have for the last few years. I mean, Pakistan supporting some of the network militants who are allied with the Afghan Taliban, U.S. intelligence believing senior Afghan commanders are taking refuge in the country, Pakistan that is, and of course two prominent terrorists have been killed in that country over the last several years, including, as we all know, Osama bin Laden. And this is all despite Pakistan receiving over $33 billion in U.S. aid over the last 15 years. With the president's overtures to cut that back as a response, I guess you could call it thumbing their nose at the U.S. They decided to turn, Pakistan that is, decided to turn their back on the U.S. dollar in favor of the Chinese yuan. The day after the president's, our president's new New Year tweet, Pakistan took its allegiance to China up a notch as Pakistan's central bank announced plans to use the Chinese yuan as its currency of choice for its trade and investment with China. The threat of our cutting aid apparently isn't giving Pakistan much cause for concern. China's already pumping billions of dollars into the country. Pakistan's capital, Islamabad, is home to the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, which is a $57 billion land and sea project funded by the Chinese government. Now, here's why all this matters, Melody. I mean, tensions between the U.S. and Pakistan have given China yet another opportunity to dethrone our fiat greenback as more and more countries are turning to the yuan as their reserve currency. We know in June of 2015, I believe, China dealt the dollar its first major blow when Russia's third largest oil producer, I believe it's pronounced Gazprom, announced that it would settle all of its crude sales with China in yuan, effectively eliminating the dollar from its transactions. And as we told you a few months back, listeners, last year China took things to the next level by trying to do the same thing with Saudi Arabia. And that's the world's second largest oil-producing nation. So being the world's largest oil-consuming nation, China has a lot of weight at the negotiating table. If it strikes a deal with Saudi Arabia to trade oil and petro-yuans, then it could really mean the end of the U.S. dollar's dominance. To make their currency more appealing, Melody, China's backing their petro-yuan with gold, adding further doubt to the dollar's future as the world's number one reserve currency. The petro-yuan being gold-backed compared to the dollar, which is treasury-backed, it's much more attractive to exporters. And as more and more countries start to trade with the yuan, gold prices could jump up another notch. And with the dollar already having decreased in value last year, as Melody has mentioned, and you know it's continuing downward trend in early 2018 so far, China's efforts to make the yuan the world's most dominant currency will no doubt see the dollar's value dwindle even further. And Melody, this could be the start of the biggest loss of U.S. wealth in modern times. However, times of difficulty also bring times of opportunity, don't they?
Yes, they do. That is true, Dave, and we've seen it in history before. And, you know, they say when the price of gold goes up, it isn't the price of gold goes up, it's the dollar going down. Mm-hmm. And you're losing value. So this means that gold investors would benefit handsomely from this situation. And it's not just the devaluation of the dollar which is suiting the price of gold. China's investment in gold in an attempt to negate exporters' fears is also boosting gold prices. So with that special today, it's a great time to be getting before gold's prices continue to rise, because I think we have broken into a new trend for gold, and both gold and silver. So, you know, make sure you give us a call, folks, at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. I believe it's already gone for the day. So we're a little early today, but it comes out anytime on Mondays. So it's a great newsletter, and of course Dave publishes a blog that he produces. You'll send one out about once a week, depending on our radio schedule and so forth. So you can get some interesting information throughout the week. So we try to keep you up to date if anything exciting is happening, and also we can do specials that way from the blog. So make sure you get to the website, dgscoins.com. Dave, trade and possibly more than one trade wars looks like they're making their rounds in the headlines. I mentioned last week briefly about Trump going to Davos, and now it even looks like things are beginning to heat up all around that meeting.
Yeah, for sure. We're hearing that the Trump administration is almost at war with itself. That's over a highly controversial plan to impose significant tariffs on steel and aluminum. Using an old law, an out-of-date law, some would say, that plan would describe the global glut of both of those metals as a national security threat to the U.S. We know that Gary Cohn, who's director of the Council of Economic Advisors, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, as well as James Mattis and Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, all think it would be bad news if the president uses this law called Section 232 to introduce steel and aluminum tariffs. They're not saying any of this publicly, of course. This is all sourcing through some of the news agencies, so we've certainly haven't seen confirmation of it, but Trump's advisors argue that, you know, imposing the tariff would alienate big allies in Europe and Canada in particular, blow up the WTO, the World Trade Organization, and send literal shockwaves through the global markets. Now, on the other hand, we got trade advisor Peter Navarro and U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbert Ross, who support these potential tariffs. They argue that the American steel industry will collapse, literally collapse, without them. Their voices are lonely ones, however, but, you know, obviously still quite powerful, in part because they validate our president's apparent deeply held position on that. So, Secretary Ross formally submitted to Trump the results of his department's investigation last week, and that starts a 90-day clock for the president to decide whether to take action. In the meantime, some of Trump's advisors hope the administration can take aggressive actions against China using a trade law known as Section 301. To satisfy the president's protectionist feelings. Now, it's impossible to guess whether this strategy is going to work, but according to some sources who are familiar with the president's thinking, Trump's top trade negotiator, Robert Lighthizer, isn't as committed to the 232 strategy as most believe. He's much more focused on targeting actions against China, which he believes is the ultimate economic threat to the U.S. So it'll be interesting, particularly on the cusp of Davos, another international, important and fairly visible international meeting of world leaders. We'll see what happens here, Melody, in the not too distant future too.
Well, that's this week, I guess. It believes it starts the 19th or this week, but also
Friday.
Yeah, and both the German Chancellor Merkel could join Macron, President of France. Both are going to Davos, or at least considering And that's certainly, I would love to be a little fly on those walls just to listen to those conversations. I really would.
It'll be fun to watch the moving body language
particularly
some of the European leaders with our prez, and vice versa, certainly.
Yeah. So it would be interesting to. I don't think it's actually been released, but it's possible that they could go, and it certainly could turn into an epic clash with them and President Trump. But you know what? You still have to. Well, we're heading into a break right now. I'll finish that thought when we get back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And you're listening to Financial Survival. Going into the break, we were talking about Merkel, Germany's Chancellor Merkel, Angela Merkel, and the French President Macron going to Davos, the ski resort in eastern Switzerland, where if you're anybody and a billionaire, you get to go. There was a comment I did see that he is, the French President is slated to speak for 45 minutes on the evening of January 24th. So it's Robert Niblett, director of Chatham House, which is a think tank in London. He says that his instinct tells him that Macron will go big. He won't just talk about Europe. He will try to take up the mantle of the free world under Europe's wing. And and you agreed. When we talked about this, you thought that he would go and that he has a lot at stake.
Indeed. 45 minutes is a long time. Long time to make a statement, and certainly to show your peers of across the globe that perhaps, as others perceive a vacuum of global leadership, that France's current leader may be one of those to step in or step up to fill that. So I think it'll be real interesting as well to see what he says and how his peers react to it.
Well, you know, at one point in time, there was always a lot of discussion that Davos really didn't matter. And, you know, they just get together to go skiing and things like that. And so I don't know if it still has that impact, or but I think this one will. If all three of them go, and because we know the you know how much they you know these elites support the free trade, and and so it it'd be, I hope Trump does go. I hope he does go, but we'll wait. I don't think any president should go, but anyway, let's move on. We've seen a lot of news lately about artificial intelligence and how it will become an even bigger part of our lives in the coming year and in the decades. But now we're reading about how AI is helping the so-called experts improve their forecasting abilities, Dave. Is this possible?
Well, anything's possible. Just ask James Corbett, who will be talking to about this. Go ahead.
And Dave, before you go on, we do have a caller. We have Ivan calling us.
Ah, great. Hello, Ivan.
Yeah, hi, Dave and Melody. How are you doing?
Just great, Ivan. Thank you.
I hope nice and warm. It's freezing up here. I have a comment about Osama bin Laden. You indicated that he was killed, by, I guess, he was killed by the American Special Forces and Obama.
Reportedly now, in Pakistan.
In Pakistan, yes. Now, I listened to an interview in 2014 when David Frost interviewed Benazir Bhutto, who went back to Pakistan to run for presidency against, I think it was General Sharif. But anyway, and they talked about Osama bin Laden, and she said he died in 2007. From kidney disease. So he was dead in 2007. Not that they killed him like they were saying, that they sent a special troops in to shoot him, and then they dropped him in the ocean, which didn't make much sense to me, but I mean, but I dug up this interview between David Frost and Benazir Bhutto, and she definitely said that he died in 2007 due to kidney disease. So I just thought I'll mention that, because that special force, which was number six or six, I don't even recollect now the exact designation of the troops which supposedly went in.
SEAL Team 6.
SEAL Team 6, right. Now, as what happened after that, as you well know, the whole SEAL Team 6 was killed by all 30 of them when a helicopter shut down or fell down. You know, there was some happened to the helicopter. All 30 of them died. So they really don't have an eyewitness saying that. You know, I know they show this one guy who comes on and off occasionally on the TV saying that he shot him. But from I knew that there was something wrong when the whole SEAL team, you know, was died in a helicopter crash, and then they said they, you know, that they have put him in the ocean. You know, I don't know that. That normally is not a disposal of the Muslims. They don't, you know, just drop them in the ocean. So I just want to point that out as a point of interest, you know. I know what you think about it, David, if you have any, you know, any other documentation or something like that. About his, passing away.
Well,
he was shot.
I don't know, Dave. I don't think you saw the interview with David Frost.
No, I don't. I don't think so.
No,
what I'm saying.
Yeah. I did not.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, my question was if you know anything more than outside what we heard on, you know, MSM, you know, what mainstream media normally, you know.
I do not. Including the deaths, I remember reading about the death of at least one of those members in a helicopter crash. But I'm actually, as we speak, seeing other news reports here that do report multiple members, 30 in fact, most of them belonging to that team. So it that probably is, that's a good question. I just don't know any more details than what you're saying and what this particular article is alleging from Fox News.
Yeah, and I just saw, because a lot of you know, fake news is being disseminated, you know, through the media, and there are very few true, very few channels or stations, radios, which, you know, really profess truth. Go ahead, Melody. I'm sorry.
And she never made it to the her election, and she was assassinated.
She was assassinated, right?
She was assassinated. And, you know, I saw parts of that interview with David Frost, and I saw her statement. I don't remember her saying it was because of a kidney deal or anything like that, but I remember he had asked her a question about bin Laden. She off the cuff said, well, and she just almost started laughing, saying, you know, he's been dead for a long time.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, I don't know much about her.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But my question would be why, you know, I don't know how it would benefit her for her to make something up or just
That's
to say
right,
that off the
yeah.
cuff. And mm-hmm. So you. I don't know, but I almost have to tend to think that she has some credibility, particularly since she was assassinated shortly thereafter. Not that the two that there is a relationship between the two, but you know, she knew that part of the world, so to speak, more so than I
yeah.
do or many of us. So,
well, wasn't she daughter of the Bhutto family who? Actually, her father was, I don't know, was he a PM, premier, or some kind of, you know, he was head of Pakistan before General, not Yeah,
she was the daughter, but I don't know the line of...
Right, lineage, yeah.
Yes.
But so. I just thought to bring it up because there's a lot of discussion, a lot of misinformation is going on in many, in many instances. But this one really, when they said it, and, you know, they had this one guy coming on TV that he shot him, you know, personally a couple of times. I seen him on, he was on Fox, but he was on other channels. But anyway, so just thought I'll bring it up as a point of...
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for your call. I mean, if nothing else, your comments point out the importance, as we've mentioned on Financial Survival Radio, how important it is for just not to take everything or anything at face value. That we've got to question what we're hearing and what we're seeing from our leaders, and we've got to do some critical thinking. I think it's important for the long-term survival of our democracy. So thank you again for that call. Melody?
Thanks, Ivan. Well, we only got 4 minutes left of the program, Dave, and we didn't even get to half of the things that we wanted to. You know, we had a little bit of a late start and everything, but is there anything of importance that you would like to share today? We have Pastor Butch on tomorrow. You're going to join us on Wednesday and Thursday, and then we also have James Corbett will be joining you on Friday with your interview. So busy and full of information week.
It is. DACA is an important thing. I think we can talk about on Wednesday a little bit more. Particularly some of the potential economic impact that these dreamers have versus some studies that show that just the extent to which illegal immigration takes away jobs from American citizens. We could talk a little bit more about artificial intelligence, more as a lead-in to James Corbett's interview on Friday. Maybe Wednesday as well. We'll wait to talk about James's predictions, a summary of his predictions for 2018, which, as we mentioned the other day, he himself calls his predictions ridiculous. And says they almost certainly won't come true in 2018. I think it'll be interesting and humorous.
They won't come true. No one's predictions come true.
Well, I think at least he's setting expectations low. He it's interesting too that he talks about they're virtually all technological related, and he's talking about some far-fetched inventions and events. I mean, the technology is intermixed with intertwined with political events that on the one hand he's saying won't happen. On the other hand, it gives us, I think, pause to think that it's not too far-fetched to think that some or even all of them could. And that's where I think, you know, the genius, for lack of a better word, of James Corbett is provocative and if not compelling.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, let's see. How much time do we have left?
Looks like we have about a minute and a half.
You wanted to finish up with because it is, I don't, and I'm going to make my statement, then you can go on. We really don't usually do holiday
commemorations,
and but you wanted to.
Well, I'll do it real quickly because I bet you we have less than 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. And I don't want to do a disservice to anyone who thinks that we're not, you know, spending enough time on this issue. But as Melody said, you know, it's just a tradition that the show doesn't talk about whose holiday we're serving. But I think one of the important things that he said that I think we can end today's show with is this. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. One more time. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Friends, whatever your lot in life, and I think there's no disagreement on this, speak out. When you see evil, when you see bad things, speak out whenever and wherever you see it or hear it. That's it for me, Melody.
Well, you know what I do? I would like to touch on that maybe on when you're back on Wednesday, because I do think that is important. And that did have an impact on me. So we will talk about that. And Todd, you can turn up the music. We're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Butch, Paul, and Dave. Thank you, as always. And we'll be talking to you later. Thank you, folks. Good night, and God bless.